Jeremiah chapter 17, in verses 7 and 8. I'm going to read it out of the NIV, whatever translation you have. We're rather limited with the different translations in the computer, but I know in time we'll be able to put more into it. We're basically getting by now with bare necessities and the King James Version. So, but there's a lot of meat in here in these two verses. So Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. And if you got it, say you got it.
Got it.
All right. Starting in verse 7. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. So I like to meditate on verses, and I like to print them out, and then I underline things. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. And the word trust means completely depend on, to rely on. So when we say we trust something, it's deeper than just that word. There really is a dependency on, we're putting a dependency on the person that we trust, or the Lord Himself, because if we can handle everything, we wouldn't bother with Him, because we'd be God juniors. So, whose confidence is in Him? Confidence is hope. If you're going to put your confidence or your hope in something or someone, you've got to know that if it's a person, that person has to be not wishy-washy, up one day, down the next, consistent on a daily basis, reliable and dependable. So for the one who puts their trust in the Lord, God far exceeds any of those qualities, if you will, that we would put in people. Because not only have we been let down by people that we put our trust in, but we also have let others down because they trusted in us. And sometimes we fell short too. But God never does. And the next part of that verse 8, they will, meaning like the ones who trust in the Lord, will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. Does not fear when heat comes. And so I've made all these real notes. It says they will. They will be like a tree planted by the water. There's no, well, maybe. If it rains on Wednesday, there might be a good stream on Thursday. No, it's a certainty. You will. You will be like a tree planted by the water. And I always get these, I call them word pictures, but I always think about the cornfields, particularly down Route 5. And whether there's sun, rain, drought, cloudy weather, the corn always grows good because it's planted by the river. So if you want an earthly example, if you want a local example of what it means to, as a believer, to put your trust completely in the Lord and your confidence is in Him, you will be like that tree planted by the water. And so it sends out its roots by the stream, a well-established root system. Our root system should be well-established. We should have a good working knowledge of the Scriptures by now. Most of us are not baby Christians anymore. And so in our growing and maturing process, we should be able to navigate through the Word a lot better than it was in the beginning. And you begin, even through repetition of reading Scriptures, our minds start getting renewed. You may not remember for certain verses after a period of time, but the more you read, the more you study, the more you meditate on it, Scriptures come more easily to you and you remember where they are. And that's like putting your roots out there, a well-established root system. I don't know how many of you out the windows can see the tops of those little that look like little Christmas trees on the far side of the parking lot. Back when Andy and I, we had a few other people, we took out the old pine trees that were dying and branches were falling on people's cars and they made an awful mess in the parking lot. We wanted to replace those trees. So Marjorie went and she and Richard got some little baby spruce trees from the nursery. Well, one didn't make it. And so one afternoon, Faith and I were hiking on Mount Scutney. And needless to say, this nice, nifty, little, beautiful baby tree came home with us. And Faith was trying to hide it behind her back in case we met any hikers on it. Did you guys rip that tree off from the street, Lord? No, I was just sitting there, take it home. And so after the trees were all gone, Andy brought a big load of topsoil and we raked it all out, filled in the stump holes where he pulled out the stumps and we made it all nice out there again and got it all sawn in and then we planted those little baby trees. And the one at the top of the slope remained very short for a long period of time. The middle one down the slope was a little better and the one at the bottom of the slope really flourished. And what made the difference was they all were planted at the same time. They all had access to the same amount of rainfall, but they didn't have a root system developed yet. And so whenever it would rain, it would flow down that slope. If you look at that, you'll see a little slope. So the first one got rain, but it didn't last long. It flowed down to the second one, and finally the third one lower down. So the bottom one caught up and exceeded the growth of the other because it had more access to water. So you see the growth in a Christian. The more that you're rooted in the Word, the more you're going to grow. The more you're going to flourish. The more you're going to win. The more you're going to overcome. The more breakthroughs are going to happen in your life. Your prayer life is going to be active. Your relationship with the Lord and others is going to be so much better because it's the root system. It's all about the roots. You'll read in the New Covenant, Paul often uses the phrases rooted and grounded because he's using a tree as an illustration. And so I like to use the little trees because they're not babies now. I'm surprised somebody hasn't whacked them down for a Christmas tree because they're big enough now. But if they do, man, they're going to mess with that angel with a sword about 8 feet long. They're going to be missing a head. And don't mess with his property. And so we go along a little further. We have a well-established root system. And also the person that the tree is not afraid when heat comes. What a wonderful thing for us. When the heat comes, when the pressures, troubles, challenges, things that provoke us, things that are in our face that say, oh, you can't believe God for that. Well, sure I can. Sure I can. But you don't fear. Getting into fear is we put more confidence in what the devil tells us than what the Word of God tells us. See, that's what happens when we get into fear. We put more faith in what our enemy speaks than what God speaks. Its leaves are always green. And here's where the consistency comes. If your roots are established, just like a tree or the corn crop is well established. I don't know about New Hampshire, but locally in Vermont, there's an old saying from the farmers that plant these fields every year, the corn will be 2 feet high on the 4th of July. And you know, every year, no matter how bad the spring is, how little snow we've got during the winter, and the runoff of the groundwater, that corn is always at least 2 feet high on the 4th of July. And most of us have lived here most of our lives, and you know that to be true. And it's the same, because it gets enough nutrients by the river. And so the Christian, too, should also flourish. Because if your roots are in the water of the Word, you're not going to have a dry season. You might think it's dry. It might be dry in your head, but you got to look to where your roots are. Because there is where the nutrients, the spiritual growth comes. It's our roots always have to be in Him. we have a great foundation, which is the Word and Christ Himself. So there's no reason that we could not flourish anywhere, anytime, any place, anywhere, as long as our roots were rooted and grounded in Him. And His leaves are always green. I noticed in the natural trees coming into the fall this year that a lot of leaves dried up on the trees before fall came. I don't know if you were aware of that, but I am aware of things like that. And I noticed in our yard that a lot of the leaves just began to curl up. They turned down and curled up and fell off before fall really advanced and the sun was getting shorter days and the leaves, the chlorophyll was drying up and the leaves were starting to color. A lot of leaves dried up and died. But see, this one, this tree, the leaves were always green. They always flourished. And so the believer, a healthy countenance, no outward signs of despair, walking in the strength of an inner peace. These are all trademarks of a believer who's been well-discipled, who's well-learned, who you're able to go to the Lord on your own if you can't find somebody to pray with. You also know this. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. All, never forget that. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying for you. Every one of you without fail. I might forget. Yes, I do once in a while. I was going to call you 2 days ago and I ended up being yesterday. Because I forgot. I got busy. Thank you. I knew my journey would come. But this is so rich. You know, sometimes if you want to read a whole psalm, and it's so rich. There's so many things there. With no outward signs of despair. And that's really hard to do sometimes because we all like to have a pity party. Invite me, myself, and I, the three favorites. They're always game free party. You can always count on me and accept the table with all of me. You might defend them for a week. But that's not cool because they can destroy you in a day. So, leaves doesn't mean that we don't have cares. I remember when Faith and I started our painting business. This was years ago, even before we were instrumental with another couple in planting the church here. We had to depend totally on the Lord to provide work for us, because when you have your own business, you can make a few things happen, but you're rather limited in what you can do. And I had this big stuffed chair in an old bedroom upstairs. We lived in an apartment building. And I just go up there and sit in that old stuffed chair and just pray. And Faith made a comment. And we had two very young children came on the scene during that course of the time, too. So there was a lot of pressure to get out and make something happen. So I would just sit in that chair and thank God to provide for us. And plus we had our competitors. Oh, you'll never have any work in the wintertime. Nobody around here ever has any painting to do in the wintertime. And I reserve my comments because they probably wouldn't come out very nicely. And Faith says, you just act like you don't even have a concern, like you don't even care about our situation. And I have to lovingly say, it isn't that I don't care. It's just that I've learned not to let the care be down on the inside of me. And that's real key. To not, I mean, to guard our hearts. You know, the Word tells us to guard our hearts. We're out of it for all the issues of life. See, all this stuff is connected. So, our leaves can always be green. It doesn't mean we always have to have that church smile when we come together in fellowship and everything is all nice and you all know that and all that stuff. And we grow out of that eventually. And we come to trust there are a few people you can share your issues with. Someone that will pray with you and not judge you. So, but your leaves are always green, meaning your countenance. And you're walking in the strength of an inner peace. It has no worries in a year of drought. There are times in a Christian's life where it might appear like that's not doing anything, like he took time off for you because he said, I got more business over here, so you just cool it over here, I'll get back to you in, maybe 20, 35. I got some real hot issues over here I gotta take care of. Now, it's not like that at all. People are like that, but he isn't. And so, drought to the Christian, we've all heard other speakers talk about going through a dry season where you just sense like you long for the Spirit to stir you. You long for the Spirit to do something. You long to get out of the doldrums or in a funk. We talked about a funk. Funk is a good word because it's very relative to the way you might be, quote unquote, feeling. Feeling is a funk. You just don't want to do anything. You just want to sit there. I mean, you might not want to, but it can be to the point where you do. You don't have to. But no worries during that time. Worry is being fearful in a sense. It has to do with anxiety about something, wanting to see changes. So, and it says it never fails to bear fruit. I really like that. Never fails to bear fruit. My Bible tells me that God's will for us is that we're to live to an old age and that God will continue to use us as long as we're willing to be used with the Lord. He can be 90. Look at Elmer. Some of you remember Elmer. Elmer went to India at the nice young age of 88. A guy could hardly walk to his car. But he was always going somewhere. He was always driving, going to seminars, going to teachers, going to hear speakers down at the Centrum in Worcester. But he went to India. And he got over there, and boy, did they milk him like a goat. They found out he had a treasure chest of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and the knowledge of the Word. And he went to places where he went to visit, and they put him to work. They didn't want him to leave. India has said, we're going to milk him like a goat and then send him home. Milk the goat until the goat's dry. You pulled it up. Now you got enough milk and that's all you're going to get. You know, because they don't have milking machines. They milk the goat. And even when you go there, you have teeth. They milk the goat so that you've got fresh milk in your teeth. And that's what they do with you spiritually. I come back, I should be drained like a sponge. No, nope. I just get so energized coming home on the plane. And so this keeps you. You know, this is one of the blessings of putting our trust and confidence in the Lord. You'll never fail to bear fruit. As long as you're willing to be a vessel in God's hands, He will never disappoint you. There's so many things, so many ways, so many creative ways. Did you ever get up in the morning and ask the Lord to show you how to be a blessing, maybe to a certain person? It's something to think about. And remain stable, unmovable, unshakable, and not easily persuaded to get into fear. Now, this is a part of this. This is the part I added, because I want you to see the contrast. Two verses above, verses 5 and 6, this is what the Lord said. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in the salt land where no one can live. That's the difference. And it's interesting that in the scriptures, the curse comes before the blessing. And I think of that with the first Adam and the second Adam. The curse came after Adam and Eve disobeyed. That was the first curse. But the blessing came when the last Adam came into this world to save all from the effects of the first curse. And I don't know if it's just a coincidence that it's here. I really doubt it. But I noticed that the curse was there before the blessing. And think about our lives. We were unsaved and we were living like these first two verses. But then the blessing of God's grace and salvation came. And now, verses 7 and 8 make a lot more sense because now we're in the promised land, we're in the kingdom. And it's time to learn about kingdom living. And God's economy is not the same as ours. And you can prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers, the Lord says, as long as long as we remain attached, like the vine and the branches parable. So much treasure are in these two verses. And it's very difficult for me just to pick up my Bible and read two verses and then keep moving on, because I see all of these things that are in it. And I love to take the time and break them down and bring them, because I hope they bless you too. And also that you begin to look at it a little deeper and see your life reflected in these words. Because you know, God's desire is that we have revelation and understanding, not only of who we are in Him, but who He is in us, and that we become who He says we are, and that we can do all the things that He says we can do, and that we possess all the things that He says we have. So, let's take a quick break. Still more good things yet to come.